Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ted Santos, and I am your co-host of The Creative Alchemist, and we come to you live every Thursday from 7 to 8. And tonight, well, it's Thursday. It's 7 o'clock. And we are here, as always, to talk about business. We are The Creative Alchemist because we talk about creativity, and alchemy is all about transformation. We always have a great guest that has very specific expertise either in an industry or in a sector of business like finance or leadership, project management, 401ks, accounting, strategy. We've done shows on many, many topics, even topics concerning your health in these trying times. So before we introduce our guest, you know, I never take this journey alone. I have a co-host, my co-pilot. Lori, let them know you are here.
Hi, everybody. It's Lori Miller of LGC Interior Design, and we thank you for returning for yet another week with The Creative Alchemist. And tonight's guest is someone I admire greatly, and although we've never had the opportunity to meet, I've followed him very closely, so I'm pretty excited to have someone who is so experienced in his field and has made a name for himself and others. So Yudi Kaufman, thank you so much for joining us. And Yudi Kaufman's from YKD Associates, and I'll let him tell you all about himself. So Yudi, please, have at it.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much, Lori and Ted, for having me on tonight. I really appreciate the invite, and I am excited to talk with you folks and to share with your audience all of the things that I've been up to lately.
That's exciting. So do tell.
Yeah, sure thing. So I'll give a little bit of a brief, like, overview history of my journey, and then we could, like, dive in wherever you folks feel is most interesting to talk about.
Perfect.
So I started off my career in business management and accounting. And after a few years in that world, I realized I wasn't getting much of my creative outlet. I was really good at what I was doing, but I am also a creative person. I'm both a left brain and a right brain person. So I did some soul searching and realized that I'd always loved design and architecture. And so I went back to school. I went to FIT in New York City, restarted from scratch, did an entire degree all over again. I got my bachelor's in interior design, and I actually stayed for another 2 years and got my master's in sustainable design. And shortly after graduating with my master's, I got an internship at a high-end residential interior design firm in New York City, Robin Baron Design. And I spent nearly a decade working with Robin. I started off as an intern and within a few years climbed the ladder and made vice president, which is kind of wild. I basically took that opportunity. I basically took every opportunity I got while working there to make myself available to help with anything and everything. Robin is an amazing interior designer, but she's also an amazing business person. And so she was always looking for new and creative ways of marketing herself and growing her business and trying new things. And I was always there right by her side, making myself indispensable to help her with whatever it was. So I got to do all the design work I love to do, but I also got to do more than that because I got to help her grow her business. I helped her with so many different things. I helped her with from things like, you know, creating promotional materials, ads when she was sponsoring events, to helping her, like assisting her along the way when she was the president of the New York Metro chapter of ASID, American Society of Interior Designers. And then when she wanted to start her own home furnishings collection, I was there by her side every step of the way, dealing with manufacturers, dealing with the design side of things, the creative side of things, as well as the business side.
Right.
I helped her with the distribution. I helped her get into showrooms and trade shows. I helped her show at the trade shows, building the you know, putting together the showroom and then breaking it down after the show. And then when COVID hit, she decided to pivot her business and launch an e-commerce website to be able to sell her goods as well as goods from other manufacturers direct to consumer. And I was there for that as well, helped her build that all up. And so that got off the ground. I realized I had gained a wealth of knowledge over during the duration of my time with Robin, specifically in business development in the interior design and home furnishings industry. And I saw that there were a lot of people in this world who needed help from people like me. So I decided to go out on my own. I launched my own business in September of last year, September of 2021, called YKD Associates. And we are a business development consulting firm for interior designers and furniture manufacturers. And here we are today.
That's awesome. So I don't know if Ted's going to ask this question, but I'm certainly. So how do you differentiate yourself from coaching, right? Because what you do is different than being, you know, a business coach or a coach, you know, business coach for interior design versus being, I don't know. Yeah, I'll leave it at being a coach.
Well, what I do is really tailored to what my clients need. You know, I help some clients with licensing, you know, folks, designers that want to branch out and license their names and their designs to manufacturers. I help create those collaborations and those opportunities. I do some brand coaching and branding and brand development with clients. I have like a sort of like a branding boot camp where it's like an 8-week program. It's like an 8-week program that I basically do a deep dive into the brand, you know, with the owner, as well as like a few people on my team. We look at their logo, we look at their color palette, we look at their brand voice, we look at their website, we look at their social media, and we basically do an assessment and help tweak and refine whatever needs tweaking and refining so that they have a clear and consistent voice and they can go out into the world and showcase who they really are and get to their target audience more quickly. People will be able to see them and understand very quickly who they are, what they do, and what their designs are all about. And that's just like one of the things. Those are just a couple of things that I do. I also, you know, I have a background in sustainability, so I do sustainability consulting. You know, I help my clients get their self into the public eye more. So, like, I have connections in various aspects of, like, at trade shows and getting folks onto speaking panels and things like that. That's a little bit about what I'm doing now.
Just a little.
Exactly.
Are you also designing your own lines?
I'm not currently designing my own lines of home furnishings, but I do still do some design work. I sort of say I do it on the side because my main focus is helping my designer clients grow their businesses, and the kind of design work that I do is pretty minimal. It's kind of like smaller projects. It's usually like friends of friends and things like that. I don't expend a lot of effort in that side of my business because I'm really trying to get out there to help other designers.
Right.
And, you know, folks have asked me like if that presents itself as like a conflict sometimes because my clients are primarily designers and I'm in some ways doing the same thing as them. And the answer is I actually see it as a benefit because I have the experience and I continue to have the experience of what my clients are experiencing. So I understand the trials and tribulations of an interior designer, and any interior designer who's listening to this knows good and well that there are trials and tribulations in this industry. And so I live it and I experience all of those same things. And so to me, it puts me at an advantage to be able to help my clients because I truly am living and breathing what they are.
Absolutely. What has it been like for you in terms of the challenges, the things that came easy in growing your own brand?
Well, nothing comes easy. You know, I have to, all of the same things that I do for my clients, I had to do for myself as well. I had to, you know, create the brand that I am right now. I had to, you know, come up with a logo and a color palette and a brand voice. And, you know, if you look at my website and if you look at my social media, you'll see that there is a consistent voice and there's a consistent look. So that way, when someone sees something that I've produced, they don't even have to look twice. They'll know it's me. They'll know it's coming from my company. And that's something that I do for my clients as well all the time. I try to instill that consistency in the look and in the tone and in the voice of what you're doing so that no matter who or what sees something that you put out there, they know who it's from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Ted and I have heard that consistently from our guests as well. Has it been easy for you to get clients? Are you advertising? Are you just word of mouth?
Well, I started word of mouth, but also, you know, I started to compile my own list of my own email list so that way I can have a direct line of communication with people. And right away, so I launched in September and in October was High Point Market. High Point is a big furniture market twice a year in April and October. So I got myself onto a few panels talking to groups of designers about growing their businesses and branding and business development. And I just got up there and I just started talking about what I've done and what I can do for them. And so after that very first market, I came home with a whole bunch of leads.
Mm-hmm.
And I did what I teach my clients to do, follow up with them, you know, give them like a brand experience essentially so that they understand who you are even after the fact. You know, it's hard to make a sale. It's hard to get someone to commit to working with you, to spending the money. And it usually takes about 7 touch points before they're ready to pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. And so I give them those touch points in various different ways. I connect with them on social media. I get them on my email list. I reach out to them from time to time, send a text message, wish them happy holidays, just things that remind them that I exist. Because the thing is that if they want my services and they need my services, they're going to come find me when they're ready.
Right.
So that's why I continue to put myself out there. So I go to all of the furniture markets. I try to get onto speaking panels as often as I can to put myself out there. And I continue to network with manufacturers, network with designers, because a lot of what I do is actually matchmaking, if you think about it. I'm helping designers find the right partners to grow their businesses. Sometimes that means the right manufacturer to launch a furniture line or a lighting line. So by continuing to grow my network, I'm continuing to be able to service my clients as well.
So how does one get on those panels? Like, because that's a pretty hard thing to do.
That's true. One of the ways is knowing the right people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And also, you know, and also being presentable and being knowledgeable and being educated and being able to sit on those panels.
Right.
But what I'm going to start doing actually is I'm going to soon start putting together those panels myself. So I'm going to pull together a grouping of my clients or some maybe potential clients or some other folks who are not clients, but they're people that I feel will add to the conversation that I'm trying to put together. And then I'll find a brand partner to host the event, and I'm going to create the events myself.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you.
Can you sleep?
I really try to be good about personal time, you know. I try to be available as much as I can for my clients and for my businesses, but it's so important to take time for yourself. Even as an entrepreneur, I know that a lot of people think that you have to work 24/7. And look, if that's what gets your juices going, then definitely go for it. I'm a person who needs to rest and recover before I tackle another day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to, limit the amount of work I'm doing in the evenings and limit how long my days will be so that I can be fresh and be ready to run the next day.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
what about you? Do you ever sleep?
No.
10 will attest to that.
That's great. See, so many designers are like that. They are working 24/7, and I think it's amazing. I think it's so great if you can do that.
Yeah, I think, I love what I do, and I'm so passionate about it. And, if something pops in my head, I kept saying to Ted, Ted was my business coach, transitioning from social work and counseling into the design world. So, I kept saying, Ted, oh, we have to have a podcast, and we have to do this, and we have to do that. And it was more out of just, I guess, the enjoyment of what I was doing. So, between the podcast and the writing and the teaching and the design and
it's so amazing. It's so great that you did that because honestly, I've thought about creating my own podcast for a while, and I know it's a huge undertaking. So kudos to you folks for putting this together and sticking to it and doing it every week because it's a lot of work. It's
Thanks.
A lot of work.
Yes, it is. And Ted will attest to my insanity.
Ted, tell us about Lori's insanity.
Well, who would work at a prison?
That
answers
the
question.
Well.
Wow.
So,
but you're our guest, so we'll focus on you. Go ahead, Ted.
So, we hear so much about this whole right brain and left brain. And you started off in school with what people would call the right brain, management and accounting, analytical, structured, the corporate kind of. And then the whole design world is creative. That's more left brain. So I want to go back to, because it sounds like you have a great story. I'd like to dive into it a little bit more. So, and you may have answered part of it, but what inspired you to go back to school? Because you started out in school as a right-brain, analytical, corporate, and so then you decided to go back to school and deal with kind of the other side of the brain. So what inspired you?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I was working in accounting department at a luxury watch distributor in New York. And it was a great environment. I really loved what I did. I was good at what I was doing. I liked the office environment. And the thing that sort of stuck out to me that was one of the triggers for me to make this move was watching as the higher ups, my superiors, watching them in their meetings and seeing how intense things would get and how stressful things would get. And I just thought to myself, I get that in life, stress happens, right? No matter what line of work you're in, things will be stressful at a certain point. And what I realized was that I need to be stressed out about something that I love doing and something that I'm passionate about doing, and I'm just not passionate about this. I do it well. I know what I'm doing. I understand what I'm doing. But it's not I needed something creative to get my juices really flowing. And so that's when I was I don't want to be there in 20 years in that position, being stressed about something I wasn't passionate about. That was really one of the motivating factors for me to make that change.
Okay. So would you say you enjoyed what you were doing in accounting?
I mean, like, it was okay. Like, I got up every day. I went to work. I did my job. I did it well. But it wasn't, like, exciting for me, you know. It wasn't something that I was, like I said,
okay.
It wasn't something I was passionate about.
Well, I asked that question because lots of people do jobs and they're good at it. They may even enjoy it. And what they may not do is what you did. You look long term. So 20 years, do I want to be doing this or some derivative of this? And your answer was no. And
exactly. If you fast forward to where I am today and where what my trajectory is, what I've done is I've taken both of these sides of my brain.
You're beating me to the punch.
Go ahead. You tell the story.
No. Well, it's like you're in the accounting department. You're satisfying some of the needs and requirements of the right side, you know, right brain people, this whole analytical, you're doing that. And you developed like a muscle in that, right, and became good at it. And then you went back to school thinking, well, what about the future? What do I want to do? And now here you are using both sides. That's kind of the punchline, right? You're using both sides of the brain. But before we even got to that, I want to ask you, as an intern, right? So, as an intern, it sounds like you were using both sides, right? The whole accounting and business, and as well as the creative. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I was hired as a design intern, so I was strictly hired to help the design business in terms of, like, you know, assisting Robin as the principal designer, as well as the other senior designers in her firm, you know, with whatever tasks were necessary from a design level. You know, in that world, that could mean, you know, ordering fabric swatches, organizing fabric libraries, you know, calling in and getting estimates for home furnishings, for lighting, for rugs, following up, doing paperwork. All sorts of things that help the design process move forward. And I did that, and I was doing that. But if you ask Robin, or if you ask any of the senior designers that were there at the time, they all sort of, like, couldn't stand me because I would just always ask questions. I always wanted to know more. Why are we doing this? What are we doing this for? How does this help? What, you know, whatever sort of, like, thing I could try to grasp, I would. And as annoying as I was, I got things done for them. And, you know, Robin would ask from time to time for help with other things that were not straight up design work. And I was there for her. I was helping with whatever I could. And anything that I, like, wasn't sure how to do, I Googled it and I figured it out because I wanted to, like, do whatever I could to help and to support the team and to move myself forward. In the beginning, I was looking for a full-time job, right? So I was putting myself out there because I wanted to show my dedication to the firm. And it was within a few months that I was hired on full-time. And even still, at that very, like, low level, that very entry level, I just made myself indispensable. I was there for whatever I possibly could help get my hands on and help with. I was there. And Robin saw that, and she rewarded it with, you know, promotions and so on.
Right. So just one, for anyone who'd like to call in and ask questions, the phone number is 516-387-1640. That's 516-387-1640. As Lori said, this show is all about you. But I want to share something because you said you were always asking questions, and I assume you probably made some suggestions. So here you are in a design company, and it's an internship. You have an education or still, you know, acquiring that creative education. Yet it sounds like that analytical side and wanting to fully understand things and why we're doing it, like, that's that's what an accountant, you know, why are we doing it this way? What's it, can we do it cheaper this way? You know, you're asking questions. I worked for a company. I was hired, and I was a salesman. I was part of a three-person sales force. And every week, the sales team, we met with the president of the company. And we were growing like crazy. All three salespeople were really good, and we were starting to have growing pains. And every week I kept making suggestions to the president, or like you, asking, well, why are we doing this? Why aren't we doing this? And why don't we put this person, you know, I'm restructuring the whole operations team. And I guess he got tired of that. So one day he asked me, do you think you could run this company better than me? And I smiled and said, yes. And he just thought it was a joke. And he said, you know what? I'm going to give you 30 days to do that. And if you can't run it better, I want silence from you. So he announced to the whole company I was now running everything. And after 2 weeks, he said, the job is yours. So it sounds like you kind of did the same or something similar by asking the right questions and making really great suggestions. And it sounds like it moved you up to a much more senior position. And
it really sounds like a very similar story. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. I'm just using myself as an analogy. It sounds like you just said, similar. So I want to ask, is that what happened, and what did you learn as an intern?
That is basically what happened. I mean, I don't think it was like spoken quite in the same words of like, why don't we, you know, give you the reins and you run the business, like the opportunity you were given. But it did have a similar flavor to that. I was basically, because I was doing everything and getting involved in everything, you know, Robin relied on me, and she would turn around and start asking me for ideas and for advice. You know, she would have ideas and say, like, well, what do you think of this? Do you think we should pursue that? And we would sit and we would have like late night meetings and just like discuss everything and discuss opportunities and where they could take us. We wrote business plans together. We did all sorts of things together, and she treating me like the vice president before she gave me the title. And at a certain point, you know, I think that my title had become senior design director. And at a certain point, I said, Robin, like that sort of doesn't really make sense for my role. I mean, I'm involved with everything that we're doing in the business. And, you know, senior design director is great, but that sort of like only implies one aspect of this like empire that we've built. So yeah, I sort of like carved the path for that role for myself. And what I learned was, put yourself out there, do as much as you can. I mean, if you want it, right? You got to want it, but do whatever you can, do your work, love what you're doing. And, you know, especially nowadays with like the internet and Google, like you have the entire world in your pocket at all times. So if there's something that you're not sure about or you don't know how to do, Google it, figure it out, you know?
Go ahead, Lori.
No, I just said you can Google anything, so, and you should. You know, if you don't know, you should Google it.
Right. Another question, Judy. What would you say you learned about leadership in that journey from intern to VP?
That's a great question. That was a challenging one that I definitely, like, had to learn on the job, right? Because at a certain point, I became – you know, in a management role, and I was overseeing staff, and I was interviewing staff, and I, you know, and I was hiring and firing and all that sort of thing. And you know, I made my share of mistakes along the way. And I learned a lot about how to treat people, how to treat people who work for you, how to treat people who when they're happy and how to treat people when they're not happy, you know, in order to, like, make sure that they're taken care of as well as the company.
Okay. I think there's another lesson in there, and you implied it by saying you were having late night, you know, meetings with Rob. It was Robin, correct?
Yes.
And so you and Robin were talking. You essentially assumed the position of leadership, like a champion in the company. So you were an informal leader before you ever became a leader. And I think that's a huge lesson for anyone, whether they're an intern or your staff aspiring to be a leader. The title won't get you there. It's becoming that leader before you ever get the title. And it sounds like that's what you did.
That is what I did. And honestly, that's something that Robin says all the time. She said it to me, and she said it to all of the staff that she's ever had. You know, don't sit around and wait for a promotion or for, you know, for whatever, for the next thing. You have to, like, step into that role and show your supervisor, your manager, that you're already doing the next level. You're already at the next level. And so the title change and the salary increase, that just, like, would make sense. You know, it would be a no-brainer because you've already stepped into the role. You're already doing it.
Right. And you know, and I would say – and especially if you have staff underneath you, if they've already seen you make that leap, it's a natural fit, not only for you, but everyone else sees it, and it makes it much more comfortable for them to report to you.
Exactly.
Because that, you know, even with myself, I was a salesman, but, you know, there were some level of leadership that I engage once given the position, like, there was, you know, I just took the reins and ran with it, which means that you're a major part of leadership is developing leadership in the people under you. So it's not about telling them what to do, it's providing them with tools so that they become much better, and over time, essentially, I made myself obsolete. They were like, "We don't need you anymore. We'll call you when we're really stuck."
But honestly, so. that's the real truth. That's the way to do it, because, you know, that's why you have staff. You have staff to help support the things you're doing, and the better you train them to support you, the more they're able to take over and the more you're able to move on to the next thing, right? Like, you always want to be focused on, especially as an entrepreneur, especially as a business owner, you've got to be focused on bringing in the clients, bringing in the money, supporting the business. So it's harder to be working in the business, right? So that's why you need to have staff and train them and really understand them and trust them, so that you don't have to be so involved with the day-to-day, and you can focus on bigger picture things.
And part of that bigger picture is looking at other ways you can service your client, like their tangential services that, you know, maybe they don't know how to ask for, but you create new products and services. And so when you become obsolete, you can now engage your clients and create new revenue opportunities. And it's hard to do that if you're working in your business. So really good point from you.
That's right.
So,
and, you know, to that point about, you know, growing your business and offering new services, it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I'm sort of experiencing that right now. Like, when I put my business together, I basically I feel like what I'm doing is I can sort of do anything for anybody that needs it, right? But I can't sell that concept, because I don't think people can relate to that. Like, they need to know, like, what is it that you do and how do you do it? And so what I did was I sort of drilled down all of the different things that I knew I could do and I knew I could do well and support people with. And I laid out six different services that I offer, even though in my mind I offer much more because, like I said, I can help you with anything. It depends on what your needs are. And what I've learned since I launched my business is that just in talking to so many different people in the industry and hearing about their needs, I realized that there's more white space for me to fill. And so I am working on adding new services based on what I hear people need.
Perfect. So I gave out the number. I don't know if anyone's called in.
Yeah, we have a caller. The area code is 920. Do you want to identify yourself?
Am I on the line right now?
920,
you are.
Yes, you're on the line.
Oh, wow.
You're live and on the air.
Hi, yeah, my name is Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hi
thanks
there,
for
Matt.
Calling
I
in.
I recognize your voice.
Oh, no, do you really?
I sure do. Go ahead, Matt. Did you call in with a question?
If anyone would like me to ask a question, I can ask a question.
Sure. What question do you have for Judy? Love to hear it.
Well, so it's kind of a broad question. I don't really know a way to refine it further, but I think that, you know, our success in whatever ventures we are finding ourselves in is, you know, largely, you know, it involves preparation. I think that preparation is probably a very crucial element to success. And I'm wondering if Judy would mind kind of sharing a little bit about, you know, his, you know, secrets of preparation, either like your daily, you know, how you prepare on a daily basis or, you know, in more of a broad sense. I don't know. Is that too vague?
Great question.
That's a good question, actually. Thanks for asking that, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to step back a bit in terms of, you know, speaking about preparedness, so, you know, that's what we go to school to study, to learn the skills that we need to pursue the careers that we want. So I went to school for business management and accounting. I landed a job in an accounting department in that watch distributor that I mentioned earlier. And when I realized that I wanted to get into design, I knew that it wasn't something that I can just step into. And that's why I had to go back to school again. To learn those skills and gain the knowledge I needed to enter that world so that I can enter it in a way that I would succeed because I was prepared for it. So that's kind of like macro, big picture kind of preparedness that is really, you know, important. But on a day-to-day, how do I prepare myself? I think, you know, what works for me is that before I close my laptop at the end of the day, I sort of like recap everything I did for the day and what are the things that are open that I know that I need to take care of tomorrow. And I write my tomorrow list fresh at the end of the day. And that allows me to step away without like lingering anxieties and like, you know, allowing my brain to step away so that, like I said before, also I can come back with a fresh start the next day because I've got that list ready for me. And when I log in the morning, I'm ready to go.
Awesome.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. I like how you broke it into a macro and micro, you know.
Thanks. Thank you, Matt.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys, for having me on.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, do we have any other callers on the line?
Nope, just that one, and we just lost him.
Okay. All right, great.
So I actually admit that his question was great because that's where I wanted to actually bring it all together. So there's some things that you learned about leadership. You were just now talking about, you know, how do you provide new products or services for your clients. And so you went from an intern where you were learning about the industry and you already had work experience in more now you're in a more creative environment, yet your corporate mindset didn't leave you. So you went into a creative environment still asking questions with an analytical mind. And it seemed like you combined them and then found yourself in a senior position. And on that journey to a senior position, you were saying that the owner allowed you to put your hands into a lot of different things. So you learned about the business, not just the creative aspect, which, you know, clearly you love and enjoy that creative aspect, but there's still that, I was saying, the right brain that was still functioning. It's almost like you're, they call it, you know, ambidextrous. You can write with both hands, but you're a guy
mm-hmm.
who can think with both sides of the brain. And it sounds like you were using both sides of the brain in the business. And then even as a senior manager, you continued. So I would assume that's what really has allowed you, all of that has prepared you for the position that you're in now, where you can actually sit down with a client who has a design company and you can take a holistic approach because you've done both sides. You've done the management and accounting, and you've done the creative, and then you integrated that into one company. And so now you can help, I'm assuming you can help your clients holistically because you really have trained and prepared, including leadership. So is that a fair assessment?
And that is a very fair assessment. And actually, it's something that helps in a way that you wouldn't have even thought. There are folks that I speak with on a regular basis who know they want to grow their businesses and they've got all these different ideas, but they don't know what to do first, or they don't know what is the thing that will work, or they don't know how to do any of those things, and they don't know which of the things to focus on, you know, in the first few months and which of the things to put on the back burner and come back to later. And that's actually one of the things that I help them with. It's just
okay.
talking it out, just asking all of those questions, hearing how they're answering it, hearing what their goals are. Sometimes they don't even know their goals, helping them to understand what their goals are so that I can help them achieve it.
And I think there's another aspect, and I would say you, you developed that muscle for this. If you're going to add a new service, sometimes people don't know how to price it. Sometimes they underprice their new service or product and end up giving away the farm and don't realize it.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not quick to rush out a new service, because for that exact reason. Because if it's a new service that I'm offering, it's going to be new to me to a certain extent. And so I want to do my research. I want to see what's out there. I want to understand how other people are pricing something similar, if this is like a service that exists. And then I want to figure out, like, how does that translate to me and my firm? And then how does that translate with everything else that I'm doing? Because while I have a number of different services that I provide, oftentimes a client is not going to just need one specific thing. They're going to need some from column A and some from column B and some from column C. And that requires, you know, structuring pricing in a different way. So I like to be really thoughtful and mindful of all of that as I'm developing new services. I want to know how to start that service. Where's the starting price? And then how can I adjust when it gets combined with other things?
Okay, very good. I have a question about social media. Do interior designers spend time on social media at all, or should they?
That's a great question. Lori, do you spend time on social media?
I do, and I've paid people to do it, and it has been discouraging and disappointing, so I've taken it on myself. And I would say I spend about an hour a day.
and you spend an hour a day consuming social media or producing social media?
Producing social media.
Wow, that's really great. That's a lot of time out of your day to produce your own social media, and that's so great that you're doing that.
Thank you.
To answer Ted's original question, interior designers are on social media. They are consuming it and producing it. And how much time they spend producing it and how much time they spend in that and how much money they invest in that, like Lori said, she hired somebody to help her with it at a certain point. That is dependent on going back to what your goals are. What is it that you're using your social media for, right? Are you just trying to put your work out there? That's one way of, you know, you sort of, there's one path to that. Are you trying to get new clients? Are you trying to grow your business into different avenues? Are you trying to be a tastemaker, right?
Uh-huh.
So yes, social media is extremely important. And yes, social media is really expensive to hire somebody to run it for you. But depending on what you're doing, it could be worth it. It could be worth investing in that. It really depends on what your goals are. So if your goals are simply just to get your work out there so that you have a place in the social media realm that showcases your work, maybe that's simple enough that you can take it on your own. But if you're specifically trying to grow your following or engage in a different community that's maybe not straight up what you're doing right now, that requires some strategy, and that requires bringing in people who understand that strategy and how to achieve that, how often to post, where to post, what to say, how to caption things, how to hashtag things, how to engage with different people. There are so many layers to social media, to utilizing social media to advance your business, that sometimes it's not easy to do on your own. So that's actually one of the next services that I'm working on right now to bring it back full circle, because I have spoken to so many people in the design and home furnishings community who are like, I just don't have the time or the bandwidth, and I know I need to be on there, and I know I need to be doing this, and I know I need to be doing that, but I don't have the time, or I don't know how to do it. So that's another white space that I'm going to be working on filling soon. And I'm developing that program right now to be able to offer. And what I'm going to be doing also is I'm developing it as a good, better, best offering, because I know that there are designers and brands at various different levels in their careers and in their businesses, and they may need only like a small helping of social media, and some of them need like full service social media management top down, right?
Right.
And so I'm developing a service to be able to help folks at all different levels.
Yeah, put me on your mailing list.
I sure will. I sure will, Lori.
Yeah, I do find, and I think for most, well, I don't know, for most people, I think it is the biggest struggle and the most important aspect. You know, it's like advertising in a magazine. You know, if you're, I was advertising for about a year, and someone was like, well, where's your call to action? And I was like, well, what is that? You know, and it's like, well, I didn't tell anyone to call me. So here they are, they look at an ad, and they're like, okay, that's a great ad, whatever.
It's a beautiful, right, it's a beautiful image. What a lovely space. Time to flip the page.
Right, exactly. So, you know, there are things that you just don't know. And it's really, you know, social media is the new advertising form. So it's important.
That's right. But here's what I want to say. I caution people to take social media – to take their investment in social media with a grain of salt.
Uh-huh.
Reason being, you don't own your social media, right?
Uh-huh.
Meta owns most of your social media.
Right.
Meta, which is the new name for Facebook. Facebook and own Instagram. Facebook and Instagram are probably two of the largest platforms out there right now. You don't own any of that. So in a flash, all of that could go away. Mm-hmm. It's something that you have to bear in mind.
Right.
And I say that because one of my clients had something like that happen. They had 35,000 followers, and their account was hacked, and they lost everything. And we're now working. We're now working on rebuilding that following from scratch.
Right.
And that's a huge loss, but it's a lesson and it's a reminder that you don't own that. And so the reason I'm saying that is because I'm going to jump back to something that I said at the beginning of the conversation with one of the things that I did right from the start when I was first starting my business was create an email listserv. Because let me tell you, friends, that is the only thing you own is your email list.
Yep.
So, you know, get onto MailChimp, get onto Constant Contact, get onto Flowdesk, get onto one of those email listservs and start loading in every email address that you can. And then, I mean, that's how I did it because I was just starting out. But then start coming up with creative ways of collecting email addresses. You know, get a spot on your website that asks people to sign up for your newsletter.
Yep.
And again, remember, it all goes down to what is your goal, right? What type of people are you trying to attract? What type of email list is going to be beneficial to you and your business? And based on how you answer that question, that's how you target getting those people to connect with you.
Right.
And, you know, use your social media platforms to funnel people to sign up for your newsletters, because if you have 35,000 followers on Instagram and you lose your Instagram account, you've lost those followers. But if you have 35,000 email addresses, you're not going to lose them.
Right.
You've got those forever.
Right.
Yep, that is the truth.
That's where I thought you were going to go. Go ahead.
Right. So, Yuta, do you want to, we had just a few minutes left, tell our listeners how to reach you and where to find you and all of that good stuff before we get cut off?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to my website, ykdassociates.com. Scroll down to the bottom and sign up for my newsletter because then we're going to be staying, then we're going to be connected forever. But also go check me out on LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram. I have two accounts basically on each, Yuta Kaufman, which is my personal name, and YKD Associates, which is my business platform. And if you take a look just at Instagram alone, you'll see that there is a vast difference between the two accounts. And that goes all the way back to what I was saying about branding and how you, you know, how you represent yourself and how, whether, you know, whether you have a brand voice or not. You'll see that there's sort of like two brand voices in a way when you look at the two different accounts. YKD Associates on Instagram has a very sort of like formal grid with like business tips and like a little bit about the business, like, and it's easy to see at a glance. If you go right now to YKD Associates on Instagram, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's literally like you glance at the page and in an instant you know exactly what I'm about. Whereas on my personal account, Yuta Kaufman, it's a little bit more casual because there I'm just being me, right? You get to see some of my design work. You get to see my travels. And let me tell you, the reels that I post, the ones that get the most hits are the ones showing off my outfits. Like, people just love seeing fashion. So it's interesting. It's interesting to like observe how people consume social media as well. So anyway, all of that to say, follow me on Instagram, connect with me on LinkedIn, sign up for my newsletter on my website, ykdassociates.com. And I would love to help you out. If you're an interior designer, if you're a creative of any sort, actually one of my clients is not an interior designer. She's a painter. And I'm helping her get some license deals, and I'm helping her figure out creative strategies of selling her paintings and selling her art and getting her into galleries and, you know, creating promotions and things like that just to help grow her business. So if you're a designer, if you're a creative of any sort and you want to grow your business, or if you're a furniture manufacturer or brand and you need some help, please sign up and reach out.
Perfect. It's awesome. And, oh, my God, thank you for giving us your time.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. This has been really great.
Very important.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, especially it doesn't matter if you're a design business or not. I mean, everything, you know, for running the business, it comes down to all of that. So it's, you know, usually important.
Exactly.
And you're a wealth of information and knowledge and an inspiration. So, yeah, our listeners definitely got an earful tonight.
Yes, indeed. I hope they got something out of it.
Yeah. How could they not?
Exactly.
Exactly. So thank you.
I have a quick question. I have a quick question before we finally close out. Any words of wisdom for someone who wants to move up the corporate ladder, let's say especially in the design industry, or it could be any industry? I would assume there's some universal principles you followed.
Really, the principle that I have always followed is fake it till you make it. And what do I mean by that? Use that Google machine in your pocket and figure it out. You know, if someone needs help with something, you can help them. You just Google it and figure it out. And if it's help that you can't help them with because it requires the help of a specialist or an expert of some sort, help them find that person. Because when you put yourself out there and you are always the person with the answers, people are going to come to you and people are going to trust you and they're going to know that they can rely on you to help them get to the next level. So whether you're an intern just starting out or whether you're anywhere on your journey, if you're looking to grow and you're in a business, you're in someone else's business, make yourself indispensable to them and help them grow their business and they'll elevate you.
Did you take on some of the bigger, more complex projects or the stuff that no one else really wanted? Do you think you had a pattern of doing that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's literally what I was doing. I mean, I was helping with some of the smaller things in the beginning with just some, like, promotional materials and some graphical things, you know, for ads and some things for social media. But like I mentioned before, as soon as Robin wanted to expand her business and get into new arenas, I was there helping her figure all of that out along the way.
Perfect.
So,
perfect.
So it's exactly.
And
I
think that's a major one. Like, take on this, and as you said before, become the leader before someone gives you a title.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, it's been great having you on the show. Definitely a wealth of knowledge. Love your journey, and thanks for sharing it with us and the listeners.
Thank you so much. Like I said, I really appreciate the invite. I really appreciate the invite, and I was happy to join you this evening. And I, you know, consider me, I'm happy to come back anytime you want. Anytime you have an opening and you want to talk more, I'd be glad to jump back in.
Excellent. We'd love to
have you.
Oh,
well, great.
Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Lori and Ted. Have a great one.
You too. Bye, everyone.
You too.
We'll
Thanks
you
a lot.
Week.
Have a great evening. And
Thanks.
Everyone else, enjoy your evening. Take care and good night.
Bye-bye.